Well, after that introduction, I drop this thing. Well, hey guys, how's it going? I don't know a lot of your faces because I'm not at this service very much, but I used to be. Last year, I was here a lot. And then I had a baby, and he's not here, but he's really cute. And so, because of the baby, my point is that I have to put him to bed usually at this time, which is why I'm not usually at the service. But anyway, this evening, I want to spend some time talking to you guys about gift giving. And, you know, we're starting this kind of series. I mean, it's only 3 weeks till break, so it's kind of a mini-series about just preparing ourselves for the Christmas season, the birth of Jesus. And what is more Christmassy than gifts? So, but before we dive in, there are two things that I want to do. The first thing is I just want to ask you to consider something with me. And I think that, you know, this is kind of nearing the end of the semester. We've been doing this NLCF thing for a few months now. And I think it's just easy for coming to church to sort of feel like a routine, you know? It's Sunday. We come, we listen to the talk, we sing some songs, and it's just kind of what we do. And so I just want us to kind of stop and ask ourselves, like, do we really believe that God has something to say to each of us tonight? Are you here with an expectant heart? Do you think that there's something specifically that God wants to say to each of you? I just want you to think about that for a minute. And let's pray. Okay. Lord, I'm thankful for this service and just this body of people that's different from the 11 o'clock, Lord. And I thank you for the people that are serving at this service regularly. I thank you that this place feels like family, that people are chatting and just loving on each other and just living out what it means to be your body. That's really cool. God, I pray tonight that this service wouldn't just be another part of our routine, but that we would expect to hear from you, God. Please just open our hearts, God. Take away distractions. Help us to focus on you. And Holy Spirit, just break through to each of us, God. Whether it's just a small thing that hits us or a huge revelation, Lord, I just ask that for each of us, you would speak in a way that that is meaningful to each of us, in a way that we know it's you. And I ask that in your name. Amen. So just want to tell you one more thing about me. I used to teach freshman English here at Tech. I wish I still did. It would be really fun. I might have some of you in my class. But I don't anymore. But the fun thing about teaching in college, teaching like in a classroom, is that I don't have to just stand and talk for 30 minutes straight. It's more of like an interactive thing. So I just really appreciate interaction. So anytime you guys want to just like shout out a amen, sister, or I don't know, just nod your head so I know you're understanding what I'm saying. Anything like, thank you, awesome. So I just want to encourage you guys to just feel free to kind of like let me know that you're following what's going on. Because one time I was teaching in my class and I kept repeating this point over and over again because I felt like they weren't getting it. And finally one of my students was like, all right, we get it, like move on. So I'm just very sensitive to like your body language and your facial expression. So, you know, just a simple nod of the head will do wonders for us tonight. So just want to get that out there. So anyway, let's jump into our talk. We're going to talk about a gift, and I want to start with just a definition of what a gift is. So a gift is something given voluntarily. This is in your bulletin, in case you didn't know. Something given voluntarily without payment in return to show favor towards someone, and it's something unearned. Now, we all know what a gift is, so why am I taking time to explain this to you? Well, I'm not talking about the normal Christmas gift or the birthday gift. I'm talking sort of about a different kind of gift. And I want to tell you a quick story to illustrate what I'm saying. A couple weeks ago, I went to lunch with some of our engaged group folks. And we went to ABP. And if any of you, I guess you're all students, but once you're not a student anymore and you have to pay full price, it kind of stinks to eat on campus. Anybody know what I'm saying? Yeah, there you go. So I'm kind of like, oh man, gotta pay full price at ABP. And that place is expensive too. But it's good, so it's all good. So I'm in ABP and I had invited my friend to come and he forgot his wallet. So I was like, oh, I'll get you, it's fine. So I had to pay for me and him. So I'm in ABP and this girl from NLCF, who is my friend, but we're not like tight BFF buddies or whatever, she comes up to me and she's like, oh, are you eating here too? I'm like, yeah. She's like, I'm paying for you. And it wasn't even a question. It was just like, I am doing this. Bam. So I'm like, all right, sweet. So this is what I mean by a gift. And let me just explain a little bit more why it was a gift. Number one, she did it voluntarily, as far as I know. Without payment in return, there was no like hint of like, so you're going to get me next time, right? Or like, there's nothing like that. It was just totally free to show favor towards someone or, in other words, to just bless me. And then the part that left an impression with me is that it was something completely unearned. Like I said before, this girl, like, we know each other, but we don't really interact a lot. Like, I haven't had this, like, deep, meaningful spiritual staff interaction with her. Like, there's nothing like that. Like, it was just really out of the blue. She just wanted to buy me lunch. And so that just left this like impression with me, like, wow, why did she do that? It's really cool, you know? And so that's what I mean by a gift. It's just when we get around Christmas time, all the commercialism and just like this crazy, stressful time of year, I think it's easy for us to get away from what like a true gift is. And I want to give you an example of how I think our culture gets gift-giving backwards. And I'm going to let this TV show clip kind of explain it for you.
Hey, Sheldon, are you and Leonard putting up a Christmas tree?
No, because we don't celebrate the ancient pagan festival of Saturnalia.
Saturnalia?
Gather round, kids. It's time for Sheldon's beloved Christmas special.
In the pre-Christian era, as the winter solstice approached and the plants died, pagans brought evergreen boughs into their homes as an act of sympathetic magic intended to guard the life essences of the plants until spring. This custom was later appropriated by Northern Europeans, and eventually it becomes the so-called Christmas tree.
And that, Charlie Brown, is what boredom is all about.
Thank you for that, but I got you and Leonard a few silly neighbor gifts, so I'll just put them under my tree.
Wait. You bought me a present?
Uh-huh.
Well, why would you do such a thing?
I don't know, because it's Christmas?
Oh, Penny. I know you think you're being generous, but the foundation of gift-giving is reciprocity. Like, you haven't given me a gift. You've given me an obligation.
Don't feel bad, Penny. It's a classic rookie mistake. My first Hanukkah with Sheldon, he yelled at me for 8 nights.
Honey, it's okay. You don't have to get me anything in return.
Well, of course I do. The essence of the custom is that I now have to go out and purchase for you a gift of commensurate value and representing the same perceived level of friendship as that represented by the gift you've given me. Well, it's no wonder suicide rates skyrocket this time of year.
You know what? Forget it. I'm not giving you a present.
No, he's too late. I see it. That elf sticker says to Sheldon. The die has been cast. The moving finger has writ. Hannibal has crossed the Alps.
You know, it's funny when it's not happening to us.
Sheldon, I am very, very sorry.
You know, no, I brought this on myself by being such an endearing and important part of your life. I'm going to need a ride to the mall.
It's happening to us.
So how many of you guys watched that show? Yeah, it's awesome. Okay, sorry. I took my scarf off, so I just want to make sure this is okay. So yeah, Josh and I love this episode. I don't know if you guys have seen this whole episode, but the end is really funny, so you should go watch it. But skip over any of the inappropriate stuff, because it gets a little risque every now and then. But anyway, so Sheldon, he's kind of crazy, right? And I noticed he talks so fast. Wow. But I guess that's what smart people do. But anyway, sorry, getting off point. Sheldon, he says some crazy stuff, but a lot of what he says is also really true. And it's kind of like that thing where maybe you agree with him, but you wouldn't really say it out loud. So, like, isn't this kind of what Christmas is for us, though? Like, you know, if somebody gives you a gift, there's kind of this, like, unspoken obligation that you have to give them a gift. Otherwise, you kind of look bad, and you don't want to look bad. Or, like, someone gives you a gift, and you didn't realize they were going to get you one. So you're like, oh, I left your gift at home, but I'll get it to you next time. Right? Who's done that before? Yes, guilty, all of you. But, you know, there's the checklist. There's this idea of, like, okay, got to get mom a gift, dad a gift, brother, roommate, you know. And it becomes about, like, this checklist instead of just the simple desire to bless somebody. It says giving, well, I don't know if this is on the slide or not, but giving voluntarily becomes about reciprocity. Giving without payment in return becomes about this unspoken obligation. Giving to show favor, to bless somebody, becomes about matching this perceived value of friendship. And isn't that true that, you know, the gifts that we give our best friend is different from the gift we give, like, our hallmate that we don't know that well? We just give them some chocolate or something. Or the gift you give your mom versus the gift you give not your mom. I don't know. So I think that this is really true for us. And I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad. I'm just saying that in our culture, gift giving has kind of gotten a little muddied. And I think that if we're going to talk about the gift of God, I think we need to kind of get back to the true essence of what a gift is. So that's why I gave you that great definition of gift. And before we get into it, I want to just kind of talk about what I mean by the gift of God. And the gift of God that I'm talking about is the gift of salvation. And salvation is one of those words that we use a lot in church. I would imagine most of you already know what that means, but if there's anybody in here that's, you know, a little unfamiliar with what I'm talking about, I just want to kind of lay it out real quickly. And, I mean, I think it's always good for us to be reminded of what the gospel is. So I'm just going to take a few minutes to kind of lay it out for us. So the gift of salvation is the gift of being in relationship with God. And when God created us, he created us with a specific design. And that design was to walk in relationship with him. Now, God created a lot of other things with specific designs too. He created, just, you know, as an easy example, a fish to live in water, a bird to live in the air. And if they don't live in that design, if they decide, hey, I'm a fish, I don't like water, I want to live on land, well, guess what? They die. So it's the same thing for us. We have a specific design, and if we rebel against that design, we die. So, excuse me, sorry. I feel like, is my nose okay? I feel like it's okay. So God created us with this specific design to walk in relationship with him. But to be in relationship with God, we have to allow God to have his position of authority in our lives. And let me give you an example. If you are an employee of a boss, you have to allow your boss to be your boss. You can't go around starting to act like you're in charge and telling other people what to do because you're not the boss and you're going to get fired, right? So it's the same thing with God. If we're going to be in relationship with God, we have to allow him to have the authority he rightfully has. So the problem is that within us, we have this desire to be our own God. We don't want God to tell us what to do. We want to make our own decisions. We want to be our own woman, right? Or our own man, I guess. And so that's called sin. And sin is what makes it impossible for us to walk according to the design we were created with, to be in relationship with him. So we're in a predicament. Are you guys following me so far? Did you say no? Oh, okay, thanks. I was like, wow, somebody actually said no. What am I going to do about that? I don't know. I guess I would have said, too bad, so sad. Just kidding. Okay, so we're in a predicament, and God has a plan. He sends his son, Jesus, who is fully God, but was born fully human. That's what Christmas is all about, Jesus coming to earth to live in human form, and he lived a life that we couldn't live. He lived a life of perfect obedience to the authority of God. He lived a life where he let God be God. Does that make sense? And then he died the death that we should have died because of our separation from God, because we weren't living in relationship with God. Like I said before, we had to die, but Jesus died in our place. So if we believe all of this, we have the ability to receive the gift of God, the gift of being in relationship with him. And I know that that is a lot of information to throw at you in a few minutes. And if that is something that you want to talk more about, I just want to encourage you to write it down on your blue card, because we really think it's important to understand salvation and the gift of God. So if you're confused, please write it down so we can talk with you more about it. So this, now that we have established what the gift of God is, I want to break it down a little further. Every time I say break it down, I think of MC Hammer. Oh, okay. So, So let's break it down using that definition of gift we started with. Okay. So the first part of that definition is a gift is something given voluntarily. Now let's look at John 10. This is from the Message version. And it says, I'm the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and my own sheep know me. In the same way, the Father knows me, and I know the Father. I put the sheep before myself, sacrificing myself if necessary. And this is why the Father loves me, because I freely lay down my life, and so I am free to take it up again. No one takes it from me. I lay it down of my own free will. So in the first half of that chunk of scripture, he uses the metaphor of being the good shepherd, taking care of his flock, his sheep, which is us. And, you know, it's interesting because I think if I'm a shepherd and I've got my flock of sheep, yeah, I'm going to, like, do the best I can. I want to take care of them, make sure that they're, you know, well-fed and all that kind of crazy stuff. But if there is some kind of threat and there is, like, a real threat to my life, I'm going to go ahead and leave. The sheep, oh, well, they're just sheep, right? Yeah, are you with me? So the reason why is because my life is a lot more valuable than some sheep, right? Your life too, more valuable than sheep. So I think that this can be how it is with God too. Like, God is infinitely more valuable than us. So why would he put our well-being in front of his own? Really doesn't make a lot of sense. You know, he could look down on us and be like, wow, they've really screwed up their situation. Oh, well, they're just humans. I got to look out for number one, you know? But he doesn't. And I think the reason is, man, he must really love us to put our well-being in front of his own, even though he is like this times infinity greater than us. The second half of that verse, I think, just kind of makes the point that, like, there's no power, there's nothing that can twist his arm enough for him to say, okay, I'll die for them. No, he was the only one that could have laid down his life for us. There was no coercion, there was no forcing. It was only him who could have decided to lay down his life for us, and he did. That is amazing. So let's move on to the second part of what a gift is. It's something given without payment in return. So Psalm 116 says, what can I offer the Lord for all he has done for me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and praise the Lord's name for saving me. First half of that psalm, what can I do to repay the Lord for all he has done for me? What can I offer him? And I think the unspoken answer there is nothing. I can't do anything. But the psalmist shows us that even though he knows he can't repay the Lord, he's still led to do some action. And that action is, I'm going to lift up the cup of salvation. So what does that mean? Well, the cup of salvation is an allusion to an old Jewish custom where at the dinner table, the head of the household at the end of a meal would lift up a cup, and a cup is symbolic of abundance, and he would give thanks. So I think what the psalmist is saying is, when I consider God's gift and all he has done for me, I am led to give thanks for the abundance of his blessing, and I am led to praise him. And I think that this can really challenge us. Are we practicing thanksgiving and praise in our life? If our lives are not marked by the sense of like praise, worship, and thanksgiving, I wonder if that's because we haven't really grasped the enormity of God's gift to us. Because I think when we dwell on it, when we settle on it, and it causes us to be amazed, we won't be able to help but give thanks and worship, right? Yeah. Great, thanks. Thank you, everyone, for humoring me with the head nod. Okay, third part of that definition. A gift is given to demonstrate love. To show favor, but which also would mean to demonstrate love. And I'm sure you guys all know this verse. God, well, this is a different translation, so it's weird to you, that's why. But God shows and clearly proves his own love for us by the fact that while we were still sinners, Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, died for us. I want to focus in on the part of that verse that says, while we were still sinners, because I think that this verse kind of is like so familiar to us that we kind of just glide over it. And I think it's important to realize it says, while we were still sinners, and that doesn't mean we were sinners, but we were like, please God, please save us. No. Being a sinner means, like I said before, that we're separated from God. And the Bible says that when we're separated from God, we're his enemies. And when you're somebody's enemy, you don't like them. You don't want to be around them. You avoid them. You don't think highly of them. You think badly of them. So this is saying that while we were God's enemies, while we could care less about what he was doing, he gave up everything for us, his life. So, I mean, think about it. If you're going to give up everything to give someone a gift and they don't even care, they actually might not even accept it. Like, you must be crazy, right? But God loved us so much. He proves his love to us in the fact that he gave everything to give us just the opportunity to accept a gift, which means we could have said no to it. Hopefully we don't. Okay, let's look at the last part of the definition of a gift, which is that a gift is unearned. God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. And here's the Message version. It says, saving is all his idea and all his work. All we do is trust him enough to let him do it. It's God's gift from start to finish. And I love this quote from Oswald Chambers. I said this in the morning service, and I'm going to say it again. You need to get his book. He wrote a book. Well, there is a book that has compiled his teachings. It's called My Utmost for His Highest. It's like a devotional book. It's great. If you love this quote, you will love this book. So I just want to put a little plug out there. If you are looking for a good little devotional book, it is awesome. He is so deep and so eloquent. Just love it. So I just want to give you a little plug about that book. But let's look at this quote. We have to realize that we cannot earn or win anything from God. We must either receive it as a gift or do without it. So that means everything we get from God, not just this gift of salvation we're talking about, but your very life, the breath that you're breathing right now, is a gift from God. Everything is every good and perfect gift is from above. I don't know where that is in the Bible, but it's in there. I can't think of the verse right now. So everything that we receive from God, we must receive as a gift. The greatest blessing spiritually is the knowledge that we are destitute. Until we get there, our Lord is powerless. He can do nothing for us if we think we are sufficient of ourselves. So what this quote is saying, and what these verses, Ephesians 2, 8 through 9, is saying, is we have to come to a place where we're able to admit, I need you, God. And for some reason in our culture, it is hard for us to admit that we need help, isn't it? I mean, how many of you, like, you just hate to cry in front of anyone? You will, like, bolt out of the room if you know you're about to cry. Why? Seriously, I want to know why. I will cry in front of anybody. I don't know why. I'm just like, whatever. So, or just like if somebody gives you help, you're like, I don't need your help. You know, I can do it on my own. And I don't know why you would talk like this, but I guess you would. So there's just something about our culture where it's like, I don't like to admit weakness, you know? But the funny thing is, I think it takes a strong person to admit that you need help, doesn't it? It's the reverse. If you are sure of your value and know that, like, I'm good, then you can admit that you need help. And that's the place where God wants to get us. It's a good thing to know, I need God. It's good to say that, because that puts you in a place where you're able to receive from him. So this is rolling into the last part of this talk where we're talking about barriers. What's standing in the way of you accepting and embracing God's gift? The first one is admitting, or maybe you don't even realize that you need God. Maybe you're just like, your life is great right now. You're like getting straight A's and you have a bunch of friends and everything's all good. And you still need God though. I just want to tell you before something bad happens and you're like, oh crap. Anyway, we need God, and it's a good thing to come to a place where you can accept it and admit it and receive from God. The second barrier, maybe you are like Sheldon, Dr. Sheldon Cooper. You don't want to receive and embrace God's gift because you don't want an obligation. You don't want God to be able to tell you what to do now because he gave you something, so now you have to give back to him. I don't want that. So if you've been here the past 6 weeks with NLCF, you know that we've just done a series about freedom, right? You guys remember? And the whole point of that series is that God wants to be in relationship with us to set us free, not to add more burdens on top of us. In fact, he says, come to me, you who are weary and burdened, and give your burdens to me. He's not saying, like, let's be in relationship so I can tell you what to do. Ha! You know, it's not like that. God wants to be in relationship with us, number one, because he loves us a lot, a lot, a lot. And number two, so that we can be set free from the things, the obligations that are tying us down. So if this is something that you're realizing is holding you back from embracing your relationship with God, I just encourage you to go back and listen to those talks and just ask God to show you, like, what does it mean for me to walk in freedom with you? The last barrier is, but I wanted a weight bench. That makes sense to you guys, right? So I'm going to tell you a story to explain. This is a story that my husband, Josh, he's back there. He told me. We were sitting in the car driving to, I think, Charlotte, the airport. And I asked him, what is a gift that you really wanted that you never got? And so he told me when he was in middle school, he really wanted a weight bench so he could work out, right? That's why? Yeah. I think you were, like, playing baseball and stuff, so you wanted to, like, be jacked. There you go. So anyway, he was saying, like, I don't remember how many hints I dropped around the house to my parents to let them know I wanted a weight bench, but I think they knew that I wanted a weight bench. And he said, you know, the night before Christmas, he went to bed just kind of thinking, like, I wonder if there's going to be a weight bench out there in the morning. And so he wakes up. They do Christmas. And he doesn't get a weight bench. And instead, he gets his one big gift. You know, we all get, like, the one big gift from our parents. He got a BB gun. Whoa, how fun. And Josh is like, he's like a super grateful guy. His parents are like awesome. They're so loving, so generous. And so he's like, you know, I wasn't mad. I wasn't upset. I mean, my parents loved me. They gave us a great Christmas. I didn't really want a BB gun. I wanted a weight bench, you know? And so the thing that stuck out to me about this story is he said, you know, looking back, like, I wish I had played with that BB gun. I really do. And even when I was visiting his parents over Thanksgiving, that BB gun got brought up. I don't know how. I didn't bring it up. But they were talking about how it's still in the box, and it's in their basement. And they were like, oh, it's probably an antique by now. And maybe it is. That I'm making Josh feel bad. I'm sorry. But he was just like, you know, I wish I had played with that gun. And I think that we do this with God sometimes. You know, we're like, yeah, like, I've accepted your gift of salvation, and I know you love me, and I'm really grateful, and that's great, but I really want you to give me this. You know, like, when are you going to give me this thing? And this X thing can be, you know, when are you going to give me that job I really want? When are you going to give me that house I really want, or that boyfriend or girlfriend? Sorry, we're not in middle school. I shouldn't do that. We're like, I really want to get married, God. Like, why aren't you, like, bringing that perfect person for me? And we get fixated on this thing that we want so much so that I think one of the markers, one of the indicators that we're becoming fixated on this thing that we want from God is that we start to lose our joy a little bit. And maybe we're not getting angry, but, like, we've lost the joy of walking in relationship with God. And so the gift that God gives us is not like, I'm going to save you so that I can give you a bunch of cool stuff and make your life great. That's not what salvation is about. It's about, I'm saving you so that we can walk through life together. I'm saving you so that you can know me. And so I think that this last barrier can kind of catch up with us, you know? It's like, what is that thing that we've started to focus on so much that we're starting to lose our joy? And we don't realize, like, that the gift of Christmas is just knowing God. Right? Yeah. So here's what I want us to do. I started off this talk by just asking if you believe that God wants to say something to you. And I hope that he has. Maybe it wasn't through this talk exactly, but maybe it was through some of the worship songs that we did. Because, man, those lyrics are awesome, aren't they? The songs that we did. I love those songs. But, yeah, songs and lyrics have a way of, like, hitting us in a way that a teaching doesn't. Excuse me. I'm trying to talk up here. That was a joke. So I just want you to think about, like, what is God trying to say to me tonight? And maybe it's something from the talk, maybe it's something from the worship, maybe it's something from just being here in this community, something that has touched you. Like, maybe it's just, like, realizing, man, I've got a family of believers here. That's awesome. You know, like, what is it tonight? We talk about in our engage groups and in our huddles and things like that, we talk about, like, these Kairos moments or, like, how is God speaking to you? And I think sometimes it's hard to know, like, how do I know if God is saying something to me? And I think, like, one of the things that I look to is either something that, like, I can't get out of my brain. It just keeps, like, coming back to me. Or, like, something that gets repeated to me a lot. Like, tonight maybe I said something and then you go home and talk to your roommate and they said the same thing to you. And then, like, you called your mom and she said that too. And it's like, man, this idea keeps, like, getting brought up to me. So I just want you to think tonight, like, what is God saying to me tonight? And if you feel like he hasn't said anything, you're just like, I'm totally not feeling this at all, just take some time and pray. We're going to do a worship song or an offering time. During that time, I want you to write it down. Whatever you feel like God is saying to you, write it down. Write it in your bulletin. If you want somebody on staff to, like, talk with you or, like, help hold you accountable or something, you can write it on your info card, and we'd love to, like, chat with you about what you feel like God is saying to you. So write it down or pray if you feel like, I'm not sure what God is saying to me. Like, Lord, please speak to me right now. And then this week, I want you to go back to that and answer the second question, which is, what am I going to do about it? And this is the important question, because I think in our church culture, it's so easy for us to come and listen and be like, oh, yeah, like, God is, like, totally speaking to me or whatever. And then, like, we don't really do anything with it, you know? We just kind of, like, leave and forget, or we just, I don't know, life gets busy. So I think it's really important for us to come back. Ooh, we need to pray for him, you know? We need to come back to we need to come back to this and say, Lord, what is the next step? What do you want me to do about this? What does this look like? And if you don't know, maybe like grab a friend, grab a good friend and say, like, I don't know what God wants me to do about this. What do you think? What should I do? How can I move forward? Because we don't want to just keep coming back on Sundays and listening and hearing the same things over and over again and like and not moving forward. You know, that's why we have a church body. That's why we come together, because we can help each other. We can help like illuminate different things and say like, yeah, I really think God is saying this, or like, have you tried this? I think this will really help you, or, you know, whatever. So take advantage of the people around you. Like, grab them. Say, help me. Admit your weakness. So let's do that while the offering song plays. And I just want to pray real quick for Daniel and for other things too, to wrap us up. So let's pray. Your name's Daniel, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. Lord, thank you for your gift. God, I just pray that we would dwell on the gift that you've given us, and that it would hit us in a way that it never has before. Lord, I do pray for Daniel. I pray that you would heal his body from the sickness, God, and I pray that none of us get it from him. But Lord, I pray your blessing on all of us, God. I pray during this time of exams and projects and like things get real crazy, and before we know it, Christmas is upon us. And Lord, I pray that tonight things have slowed down and that we have just been able to really consider how great your gift is, God, and that being in relationship with you, Lord, that's better than getting stuff. You know, if there's something you're not giving us, God, help us not to interpret that as you not loving us enough, or as you like withholding things because you're angry, or God, that's not what it is. You have demonstrated your love to us by the fact that while we were separated from you and your enemies, that you died for us. Lord, I just pray that this gift just really sinks into our hearts. Holy Spirit, please speak to us. Please make it clear what you're trying to say to us tonight. And please help us to discover how we can move forward in that. Help us to ask each other for help. Help us to remember the things that we've heard tonight, the truth that's been proclaimed. And just help us to feel your love for us in a newer, stronger way. And I pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.